At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
We are in 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. Just go there and then please stand. Okay. We'll read verses 1 through, let me see, verse 4, 1 through 4. Then David said to himself, now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. And then Saul then will despair for searching for me anymore in all the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand. So David rose and crossed over with 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David lived in Achish at Gath, he and his men, each with his household, even David and his two wives. Somebody say that name for me. Ahinoam? Sure, you say so. Okay, the Jezreelites, Abigail, the Carmelite, that means she likes Carmel, Nabal's widow. Now it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he no longer searched for him. You may be seated. Let me set the stage. If you remember, David had previously snuck into Saul's camp, okay, with his nephew, took a spear and his canteen, confronted Saul across the wadi, across this ravine, and they yelled back and forth. Saul's going, yeah, you're right, I'm wrong, I'll stop chasing you. Okay, that's a quick paraphrase. Now, Saul just said, I will quit chasing you. And David says, I'm leaving. So we want to address that. We're not sure, by the way, if this is the same king of Achish that was there when he tried to go to Gath before, because here it mentions the king's father didn't do that before, so some things, this might be a different king of Gath, using a same title but a different king. They don't know. But I want you to understand, Gath was one of five major Philistine cities, okay, covered 62 acres. That's a good-sized city for early Iron Age, late Bronze Age. That's a pretty good-sized city, 62 acres, okay? It's flourished. It's a great farming area. Today, you can go there, and they have a tell, which means hill, where they've been digging there. And particularly this last year, a lot of archaeology has taken place there. Saul has been hunting David, according to the scholars, for 4 years. He's been on the run for 4 years. And if anybody of you remember, if you went to college for 4 years or high school for 4 years, when you're in the midst of it, it sure seems like a long time. Now, when you graduate and you walk out and you go, where'd that time go? But in the midst, remember, David's been in the midst of it. He's not looking back at it. He's in the midst of 4 years of being chased by Saul. At this point, he's around 26 years old. He's been chased since he was 22. That's the scholar's estimate. And so he now ends up at Gath. Here's the problem, though. David, even though Saul said, I ain't chasing you, David knew he couldn't trust that. Okay, he understood that, all right? Because you know, Saul did his false repentance, I guess, if you will. He's actually did it twice in chapter 24 and chapter 26. He did the same thing with Samuel. Remember, if you remember, Samuel told him to wait for him to be there, and he comes to Samuel and tells him to kill all the sheep, right? And now the king, and he shows up and says, man, why do I hear the bleeding of sheep? Okay, this kind of thing. Oh, I'm sorry, I repent. Yeah. Let me put it this way. He came down for every altar call. He had grief, but no true repentance. See, David recognized Saul's real character. Saul's jealousy, Saul's anger, Saul's temper really derived from, I believe, looking at it, a low self-esteem. He was bugged by David, was better successful than he was. That's a good sign of immature character. But after a while here, of this 4 years of this, I believe David had become discouraged, and you'll see as I continue through the message, some of the psalms that he wrote while he was being chased, and we'll talk about that. Why? Why does he tried this before. Remember the whole Gath thing before, and King of Gath says no, and he acts like he's crazy to get away, acts like a crazy man. But he's going to go back and try this again? I'm sure you've never done it, but that's okay. See, here's his problem. He really thought there was no one he could rely on. I couldn't count on Saul keeping. He's the leader of the blasted country, and I can't count on him to keep his word. Experience tells me this guy flip-flops, if I could use that term. But see, he also felt like he couldn't trust the people of God. Why? He trusted some once in a place called Nob. And it cost all those people their lives. Matter of fact, Doeg was one of the people who killed all those guys. He's an Israelite. He's one of the people. And he's in the caves of doom, and God speaks to the prophet, and he leaves there. And remember, he does this wonderful thing. He helps the people of God. He goes and saves the city of Keilah. Remember that? Man, the Philistines are attacking. He seeks God, get the ephod. God, should I go help these guys? Yeah, go help these guys. So he goes and helps these guys. And then he hears Saul's looking for him, and he goes to seek God again. God, do I stay in this city, or will these people betray me? God says, get out. They'll betray you. Oh. So I want you to think about that a minute. The one time he put some trust in the priest at Nob, they all end up dead. And those people don't turn on him in front of Saul, and they end up dying. And then these other people, he goes and saves them, and they turn on him. He goes, hides in En-Gedi. Saul finds him there. They have this encounter across this ravine. And Saul gets called away because the Philistines are attacking another city. Then he has the whole thing with Nabal. Ah, you're just a rebel. You can't handle authority. It's your problem. You're just a runaway slave type attitude. So here's this wealthy guy. Now, God, we know he ends up dead. We know David ends up marrying Abigail. But that doesn't stop the fact that the words he said. You ever tried to take words back? Not yours. When someone said them to you, about you. You ever tried to dump that? Tried to forget that they said whatever? But then he's in the wilderness of Ziph. Twice the people of Ziph narc on him. Hey, Saul, is not David over here? Right? The only person that David can count on is Jonathan, and he's Saul's son, so he doesn't get to see him much. David began to see the people of God as his enemy. He got tired of the ridicule, the questioning of his character. In Psalms 3, 1 and 2, David says this, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him from God. You ain't even saved, buddy. Psalms 4 and 2, he wrote the first, I think it's seven Psalms. O men, look who he's talking to, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? You ever get tired of people lying about you? Attacking your character? David says, man, I got so many. How long is this going to go on? I'm sure you've never felt like that either. Hey, when you're under attack, I mean, when you're especially under public attack, maybe you've never been there. I have. Well, maybe family's taking you to court. Maybe another Christian's got you in court. How could they do this? And they try to tell you how bad you are. And one of the things that you'll see in the church a lot, I don't say a lot, but the divorce happens. You're trying to do the right thing, but your spouse is on Facebook calling you every name in the book, telling everybody how rotten you were. What defense do you have? And then there's just flat the resistance against him. Nabal just flat says, no, I ain't going to help you. He goes and helps somebody, and then they turn him in. It's not just what they say. It's their actual behavior. They're actually preventing me, resisting what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to protect my name. I'm just trying to do right here, and I don't want to fight against Saul. I just want to leave it alone, but I can't even hide. People turn me in, so I have this confrontation. I try to forget it, but every Thanksgiving, every time we get with the family, somebody brings it up. And it's gone on for 4 years. When this type of thing happens in your life, it does in David's, you'll find a few things that we tend to respond to that. Not always, but tend to. Number one, we get frustrated. I hate frustration. You know, you go to the doc and you say, I got this, this, and this, and the doc says, I don't know. That's frustrating. If you've never been there, just give me, pick a diagnosis then. At least I have something. But you're going on and on and on. Okay. That issue, it just won't go away. You get frustrated. Psalms 12 and 1. Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Notice the hyperbole. That's exaggeration. There's nobody out there that's faithful. Humanity has lost it. See, when you've been attacked long enough and you've been in the fight long enough and you're starting to get discouraged and frustrated, exaggeration comes in. You wouldn't believe how they treated me, Andrew, and watch the fish grow. It just, you begin, and you'll see this throughout the Psalms as we go on. You just get frustrated with all, what do? When you're just trying to hide from, you're not trying to confront him, you're just trying to step back and let God do his thing in Saul's life, and every time you do, you're thrown right back into it. Oh, how frustrating. But then you also get, many of us get defensive. And that's what we saw with Saul, particularly the last time. Hey, Saul, come on, your own guard there messed up. We snuck into your camp. He's the one that deserves death. I mean, I've been the good guy in the whole process. Of course, that leads to another thing, and David writes it in Psalms 4. Be angry and do not sin. I don't care how holy you think you are. When Saul's treating you that way, and you're hiding out here somewhere, eating beans for the fourth night in a row, that filthy, dirty Saul, man, I tell you, I wish God. You don't believe me? Read the precatory Psalms. God, just go get them. I'm so wretched. Go attack them. Give them 3 times as much as they do. Go get them, God. You've gotten frustrated. You've tried to defend yourself in a good way, but they're in the private place, in your own place. You're talking to God. God, I'm just angry about it all. But with that process, and I'm going to be honest, your frustration and your defensiveness and anger, that adds to the next one, not just the problem, but that is fatigue. Listen to Psalm 6. Notice these are all in the first few Psalms. Psalm 6 through 7. I am worn out from my groaning. He doesn't say I'm worn out from Saul. I'm worn out. That's from the inner stuff that's going on. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of my foes. God, I'm sick and tired of this. You got to do something. I can't take it anymore. It's wearing me. I'm not sleeping at night. That's what he's saying. I lay down at night, my mind just starts, and I weep there in my bed, and I don't know. Look at this, and you'll see a common thing in several of these psalms, but Psalms 13, 1 through 4, to show you get just 4 years of chastening. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? Now look at this. Look at this. The omniscient God, he says, forgets. He's been in it. How long am I? God, are you there? How long am I going to be out here and you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemy... Do you catch this phrase? What do you see? Repetition. Those are doing deductive hermeneutics. What repeated phrase do you see there? How long? Oh God, 4 years. God, are you even out there? How long does this got to go on? Maybe you, I don't know about you, but I've been in trials going, God, this. I don't know how long. How can I take this? God, are you, please. Consider and answer me, O Lord. My God, enlighten my eyes and I will sleep. The sleep of death. Uh-oh. Come on, guy. Maybe it's just better to die. You know what I mean? And my enemies will say, I have overcome him. My adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. David's wore out. But sometimes you get, not only did you think he forgot you, then you start thinking maybe he's punishing you. Maybe I deserve this. And God is punishing me for what I've done. Psalm 6 again, verses 1 through 3. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are in agony. And anybody over 50 said amen. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? If it's punishment, God, how long is this going to take? How bad did I do to get punished for 4 years? To lose everything? To be in the hospital this long? And to come out and owe a lot of money. God, are you, if you're doing this to me, was it really that bad? David's tired of the wandering. Tim and I have been on the road a long time together. I've been on the road with the elders. You ever get tired of living out a suitcase? Sleeping in a strange bed? That kind of thing? Now do it on the camping scale. You go, because that's where he's in the wilderness. He's camping for 4 years. In chapters 19 through 27, so in 8 chapters, it tells us David fled 7 times. And David fled, and David fled, and David fled. David's tired of running, but every time he runs, somebody narks on him and brings the problem right back. See, sometimes we think location changes it. Oh boy, I see this a lot. You think, okay, let me put it. Or you think a different spouse will change it? Or a new truck will change it? Or a bigger house will change it? Or a smaller house will change it? A new job, that's what I need. Psalm 55, verses 4 through 8. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling have come upon me. And horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that like the wings of a dove, I could fly away and rest. How many of you seen the Southwest Airlines commercials? Want to get away? You haven't seen those besides me. And they put people in different scenarios. You just want to get out of this situation, some embarrassing thing, one of them, you know, the guy sees a friend he hasn't seen in a while, and he looks at the guy's wife and says, well, when are you due? And the wife says, I'm not pregnant. You want to get away? That's just in a simple situation like this. David's going, man, if I just could have wings and fly out of this, maybe on Southwest, I don't know. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and the tempests. If I could just get a break from this, I could just remove myself from the problem for a while. Maybe I'll take a trip to Cancun, but when I come back, it's still here. It might even follow you to Cancun nowadays through your phone. I'm defeated. I've had enough. I want escape. If you don't believe me, in the verses we just read, he said, I will escape. One of the things that happens when all the frustration and the battle is continual and you have this urge to escape. Now, let's get real. There's the natural urge, flight from danger. And I think some of the chemical responses begin to happen when it's a battle, even if it's a battle of not me trying to stab you. What is interesting to me, though, is David seems to lose track of something. All the times God saved him. Instead of focusing on how God has delivered him time and time again, David's wore out, defeated, discouraged, and you think his memory's faded. He's only 26. It's not dementia, it's not old age. He's not trying to remember where he left his keys. But he has forgotten what God has done. The endless demands, the constant tension, the lack of support in the mess. I just got to get out of this. I want you to understand, there's nothing morally, ethically, spiritually necessarily wrong in a sinful way of being discouraged. That's normal. You get that way. You can read where the disciples were. Paul talks about it. He was discouraged unto death. Okay? There's nothing wrong with it. The question is, what do you do? Just like with your anger and do not sin, it doesn't say anger's a sin, because Jesus, the Bible says Jesus got angry and he didn't sin. But don't sin. How when you're to the point where you're just so defeated, so beat, so wore out, but don't sin in that. See, David did not seek God at this point. Now, earlier, he asked for the ephod. God, do you want me to do this? It's God that told him to get out of the cave of Adullam and reside in Judah through prophet. It was God who told him to take on the people, the Philistines. It was God that told him that they would narc on him. He sought God when he was ready to fight a full army. But now that he just had enough. He had a great victory, though. He just got out of one. Went in, stuck it. Hey, it's all got your spear, got your canteen. Oh, man, you're amazing. I'm out of here. Yeah. But he doesn't seek God. He engages in, I'll call it for negative thinking. And it said, then David said to himself, oh, what goes on in your head matters so much. What you're saying to yourself matters a lot. And I don't want to be too into psychology here, okay? But what you say to yourself makes a big deal. Here's what he said to himself. Now I will perish one day at the hand of Saul. I know this. If I just keep hanging out here, one day it's going to get me. This can only end in disaster. There's nothing good that could come out of this. You know, the only thing I could see here is a bad end to the whole mess. Excuse me. Remember when God talked to you before? Remember the promises that he gave you? What do you think about? Other people told him about the promise he gave. Abigail did. Back in 25 and 30, she says this, when the Lord does for my Lord, that is David, according to all good that he has spoken concerning you and appoints you ruler over Israel. Saul himself said it twice, but in particular, we can look in 24. Now behold, I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand. His enemies are telling him about God's promise. But he says, if I just hang here, I'll be dead. Then how does the promise of God come true? How could he be king over Israel and the kingdom be established? How could all the promises God, if he's going to be dead? But he doesn't remember those. He's just worn out and tired of running. And Saul went off, went back home for a while. And he goes, he's going to come right back. We can go hide in another cave, but I just can't see it. All I see is misery ahead. So what does he do? He seeks refuge, security, safety in the world, in the Philistine territory. Listen to this in verse 1b through 4. There is nothing better for me than to escape. Oh, come on. Don't tell me you've never felt that. The best thing for me is get out of here. The best thing for me is just find a way to escape from it into the land of the Philistines. You don't understand. God's people have hurt me so many times. The leadership, I can't trust the leadership. So I leave the people of God for the unbeliever. And don't tell me you've never seen it. Then Saul will stop chasing me. And sure enough, Saul did. Must have been a good decision, right? I mean, if we just look at the outcome, Saul stopped chasing him. See, I told you that. I told you. I could hear him telling one of his wives now, hey, baby, I told you it was a good decision. And she just sort of nods because she knows better. At least my wife would. See, when we become negative, pessimistic, when we're exhausted and tired, when we keep our eyes on the situation, we forget what God has promised, and we will look for rest in the wrong places.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.